Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I need a song like this. Good morning. Stoney in for Marty today. We go till noon on this very rainy, pouring day. Man, Gina was just walking in, strolling through this weather. I thought, man, the dude has got it all right. The dude abides, right? Hey, I want to read this to you. We got Rich and Tom waiting. I'll get you guys on. This goes right along with what we've been talking about to people in this last hour. About mental health and people falling through the cracks and coordinating our safety. This is from Los Angeles, the shooter in Thousand Oaks. Listen to this, if you will. The gunman who killed 12 people at Thousand Oaks, California bar had an angry, violent side in high school, and a former coach said he assaulted her during one outburst. Dominique Collell told the Times, it would be the LA Times, that in the spring of 2008, Ian David Long attacked her when she was a senior on the track team at Newbury Park High School. Collell, then 28, was the girls' track coach and also disciplined the boys' team. Collell said the incident began when she was trying to identify the owner of a cell phone a student had found. Long saw her with the phone and ran over, screaming expletives and demanding she return the phone. Collell refused. She said she told him she had to verify whether he was the owner by calling the number listed under Mom. Long was shaking with rage, she said. He started to grab at me, Collell said. He reached around and with one arm groped my stomach. He grabbed my butt with the other arm. She eventually pushed him off and verified the phone belonged to him, but she booted him from the team for assaulting her. Get out, she told him. You're out of track. Long complained to another coach who questioned Collell's decision, she recalled. When she escalated the incident, one high school administrator told her she was just too young and good-looking to be taken seriously. Oh, my God, every woman in the audience just bit their lips. You're too young and good-looking to be taken seriously, honey. The next day, Long came to practice with flowers and pleaded to return to the team. Collell said she refused. Eventually, administrators and other coaches pressured her to accept his apology and allow him back on the team. Collell said she was told that she was ruining Long's future and that the incident could jeopardize his application to the Marines. To her regret, she relented, fearing it would hurt her chances to secure a position to teach art at the school. She recalled another coach saying that the Marines would save this kid, and she said she was happy he was enlisting. A spokesman for Conejo Valley Unified School District did not respond late Thursday to a request for comment about the incident. Others have spoken of Long's aggression and after his discharge from the Marines, his struggle with mental health issues. Richard Vargas, 29, said he attended El Modena High School in Orange with Long before he transferred to school in Newbury Park. The kid was an instigator, Vargas said. He was always trying to start fights. Collell said the Long's anger was paired with vulgar language and that administrators appeared to know about his behavior issues. When Long or any other student cursed, she said, she imposed a penalty of a one-mile run. He owed me miles regularly, she said. One time he cussed and started his laps, and every time he passed me, he cursed again. I'd add another mile. The tally ran up to 13 miles. Collell said that by her recollection, Long ran the full 13 miles while she waited. He was very determined and very angry, she said. He was probably the only student that I was actually scared of when I coached there. Collell said she learned Thursday morning that Long was the gunman while watching the news. At the time, she was waiting to find out whether her husband's niece had escaped unharmed from the Borderline Bar and Grill. She did. I heard the name, and my jaw just dropped, she said. I couldn't believe it. It was shocking, but it wasn't shocking that it was him. This is what we're dealing with. I got Tom and Rich. Tom, Rich, and Linda. I'm going to start out with Tom in Coriopolis. Tom, thanks for waiting. Welcome to KDK. What's on your mind, Tom?
All right. Thanks, Tony. The California shooting, I have two quick things. The California shooting, I remember watching TV with the synagogue thing when Trump came on and says they only had a security guard. That statement angered me because it said, is this what America's come to? You're essentially saying we have to have a security guard everywhere. And here we go again. When these shootings have to stop. I don't know how to stop it, but is America going to have to be when I walk into, I'm in front of a Staples now. If I walk into Staples, I'm going to walk past a security guard?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's...
It's scary.
It is. I agree. And that's what we're talking about it because, you know, and as you say, we've got to do something and we've got to move beyond that. And I think you're in the right place, but we've got to find out what that something is. And if they let this go.
Immigration thing. I was talking to a neighbor Wednesday, and he made a statement. This one you can spin in many different directions.
Okay.
He said, I find it interesting that we send our troops to foreign lands to give them freedom and stability, but yet when we now are in a situation when somebody wants, we spend millions to do that, but when somebody wants to come here in their own free will, we don't want them in no more.
Yeah, that's a confusing situation. It preys on the fact that people want immigration handled. And again, okay, let's have a comprehensive plan that handles it. Sending troops is not necessarily a comprehensive plan. Sending troops is almost a last ditch effort that you use when you have no other choice, or it should be. Good call, Tom. I appreciate your call. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you.
You got it. Rich is in Waynesburg, and I will click that up. Thank you, Rich. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to KDKA. What's up?
Hey, Stoney. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Hey, listen. You seem like a great guy. I love listening to your show. You're very easygoing, but sometimes I just think you're too easygoing. Whenever people call in and feed you a line of BS, and you know it's BS, you should just tell them that. For instance, the last caller kind of ripped that other guy's call apart about the difference between driving a car and owning a gun.
Owning a gun, right, and
there's a privilege.
Yeah.
Okay. And you should have just called him out on that. You know that there's a difference there. The other, and the same guy then says that it's the white people that are doing the shootings. They do a lot of shootings. But whenever you look proportionate to the actual population of the United States, it's probably very even. For instance, Fort Hood, the Pulse nightclub shooting, San Bernardino, were all done by people that were not white people.
Okay,
it's not just white people out there shooting.
But the thing is, Rich, and I appreciate that. Thank you. What I like to do is I like to hear many times people are saying something that I don't agree with, that I know a lot of other people do not agree with, but I want people to hear what they have to say. Because that's what people are thinking. When we say, well, how did we get to this point? Who believes any of that stuff? The people that come on the air with me and talk to me about stuff, this is what they believe. They're not trying to instigate or trying to get me to react to them, or maybe they are. But I feel it's important for the audience and people like you to hear that stuff and go, hey, wait a minute. I'd rather hear it from the audience, from people in the audience that hear what other folks have called in to say, than for me to preach or tell them you can't say that, because they can say that. And to me, that's one of those things that allows us to see into people's souls, into people's minds. Now, I didn't find too many of the things that were said today to be terrible, but they do show what people are thinking about stuff. And I think it's important for us all to know that, because we reveal things about ourselves when people who call in to talk with very passionate feelings about things. Rich, great call. I appreciate you giving a call. Linda's waiting in West Mifflin. I'm going to get you on next. Don't bring me down, Vic. Don't bring me down. Just had a discussion about Jamboree in the Hills not going on this coming July in 2019. That's so sad. That's so sad. All right, Linda is in West Mifflin, and Len is waiting. I'm going to start with Linda because she's been on the longest. Thanks for waiting, Linda. Welcome to KDKA, my friend. What's up?
Oh, you're welcome, Sony. I used to listen to you when you were on WHTX. Do you remember that?
HTX? You mean...
96.3 three or.
Oh, six. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I never worked there. Now stop it. You're driving me. You're making me crazy. I never worked there.
I thought you did.
No, no.
Maybe I'm calling it from the wrong letters.
That's okay. Anyway, that's not why you called. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Have you talked about the Edmund Fitzgerald yet?
Not yet, but I want to.
Okay. Do you know where it went down?
Yeah.
My husband said Lake Gitche-Gumee or something like that.
Well, they talk about Lake Gitche-Gumee because that's what the Native Americans called Lake Superior. It actually went down in Lake Huron.
Oh, okay. You know, that was a U.S. steel ship.
Yes, it was. Yes.
I remember my dad telling me that.
You know, and it was also, I thought it was interesting that it had, well, I was looking at something about the ship itself, that it had a Westinghouse boiler on the ship. So, I mean, it really had a lot of roots in here, and it sailed between, Cleveland and Detroit and all the way up on the Great Lakes. So, November 10th, 1975, all 29 crew members did not survive.
They never found anybody.
No, no. It was a very sad story. And, I mean, really, you know, the song from Gordon Lightfoot, "When the Winds of November Blow Early." I mean, here, look at today. Look at the day today.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And I mean, it would have, I don't know what day of the week it was that we lost her, but when she sailed, you know, there was a storm coming up, and they knew that because in the Great Lakes you get these terrible storms, and there it was on the afternoon of November 9th. And it was headed to Detroit, so... It never made it.
Never made it.
And I said Lake Huron. It was Lake Superior, which the Native Americans called Lake Gitche-Gumee.
Oh, okay.
And they always said that it flowed, you know, what Lake Superior sends into Huron, and then Lake Ontario takes what Erie sends her.
Right.
I mean, it's just a haunting, scary, frightening story. But those 29 men never had a chance. She broke apart and still lays down. On the bottom of Lake Superior, which is massive.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives me chills to talk about it. It was in 1975. Yeah, that it happened. And there is, if you ever go up there, there is the up in the Upper Peninsula. They have the museum dedicated to the SS Edmund Fitzgerald. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's amazing. You see the size of it, and they have the Gordon Lightfoot song playing. I mean, it really is a piece of living history. And tomorrow they will ring the Mariner's bell in downtown Detroit 29 times.
29 times.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, okay, Stoney. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate
it. I think you're a doll.
Oh, I love you, Linda, no matter where you listen. Thanks for your call. That's Linda in West Mifflin. Yeah, I had my share of radio stations. It's like, oh, you worked there. No, I didn't. Oh, sure you did. Okay, fine. Very sad story, but one of those stories that I just never forget having grown up in Detroit, and especially, you know, all of us here, we see ships, we see barges on our rivers here. That was something that I just never forgot. And, of course, it was memorialized in that great 6.5-minute song from Gordon Lightfoot, "The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald." I have to get to it. Coming up, speaking of things that you don't want to ever forget, after the news at 11:30, Arlene Wiener is going to be with us to talk about something that also happened in history back in on this date in 1938. And it was really the beginning of what the Nazis in Germany called the Final Solution. It was Kristallnacht. And there's a story behind how it happened, why it happened. And I know Arlene, she's a wonderful person, a great playwright, and a good friend. And I said, you know, just come on and talk to me about this. And so she's going to. We'll do that after the news coming up at 11. Okay, we're going to take a break here. As the rain just pummels us, just think, if it were just about 10 degrees colder outside, we would be getting snow. Some people getting snow. Keep an eye out. Could be a dangerous night tonight, and hopefully maybe a pretty weekend this weekend if you like snow. Other than that, we're going to be swearing a lot, right? We'll talk with Arlene Wiener coming up a little after the news. and more of your calls. I want to get to some of these emails that I've not been able to get to, but some just terrific discussions with all of you today. I'm enjoying this. Let's take a break for the news. Rose has got it for you, and then more as we continue here. Stoney and for Marty, it's News Radio 1020. We are KDKA Radio. Thank you, John. Lawrence, Stoney in for Marty on News Radio 1020. KDKA, the final half hour of the program, and with me on the disinformation news line is a playwright, a friend, a talented, very intelligent woman. Arlene Wiener is with us. Arlene, nice to have you on the program. How are you today?
Thank you. I blush, Tony. Thank you.
It's radio.
No, I won't be able to speak at all.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to participate in this, because this is it's a day that I think should always be talked about. It goes back way back to 1938 in Germany, and I think a lot of people say, "Well, geez, that was a long time ago," but it was the beginning of the Nazi persecution of Jews that led ultimately to what they called the final solution, the Kristallnacht, as it was called. Is that correct?
It's the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. It wasn't, I think, the beginning, but it was a horrific, horrific mass attack on Jews in Germany. And Jews in Germany felt German. They were German.
Yeah.
They were citizens. And they felt very German. They, you know, they went to Mahler symphonies, and they, you know, felt...
They were German, yeah.
Yeah, they were German. But on this day, and, you know, the Nazis weren't very nice. I mean, I read a book called In the Garden of the Beasts, which was about the American ambassador to Germany in about 1933 and 4,
mm-hmm.
who was he was a Southern history professor who just wanted a quiet time to write his book. And he wasn't very open-minded, one would think, but he was so horrified by what was happening. People were, there were toughs beating people up in the streets. And then, in the Night of the Long Knives, the SS killed the leaders of this paramilitary group. So, and there had been already, there had been already actions against the Jews. But on this particular day, it's called Kristallnacht. Kristall apparently means broken glass.
Oh.
700 businesses were looted.
Windows were broken. Things were set afire.
But also, many synagogues were set afire. I think there were 79 in Vienna alone, a lovely, lovely place that I have never brought myself to think of going to, Vienna. People, many Jewish men were arrested and sent to concentration camps. It was just hideous and concerted and obviously planned.
Well, you know, and the reason that it still remains so important today, not just as a memory, but because, as you said, you know, it came upon Germany so slowly, and people who were, as they were called, good Germans back then, went, well, this is not that big a deal, and yet these rioters destroyed 267. These rioters, they were Nazis, 267 synagogues throughout Germany, Austria, Sudetenland, and 7,000 Jewish businesses were either destroyed or damaged. And they said maybe 1,000 people lost their lives those two nights, but it was perhaps more as a result of what, you know, the other people that suffered under this. And then ultimately the Jews were sent away, the final solution, the Holocaust, and all that terrible stuff that happened in Nazi Germany. But it really, I mean, this kind of was the coming together of the brown shirts of the Nazis in Germany, I think.
It's hard for me to understand how cruel people could have been. you know, there were people who, there were people who hid their neighbors, but then there are a lot of low motives that people have. You know, you covet your neighbor's goods, you covet your neighbor's wife, and so, or you just feel resentful, and you denounce them. They, it's, you know, that I think that they, you know, force people, old men, to get down and wash the sidewalks and you know, just humiliating,
demeaning
things.
Yeah. There was also this aspect. Arlene Wiener is with us. We're talking about Kristallnacht, which occurred in Germany on November 9th and 10th, and way back in 1938. And people say, how did these things happen? And my answer is always very gradually. There's a story from Martin Gilbert, a British historian, that said no event in the history of German Jews between 1933 and 1945 was so widely reported as it was happening. And the accounts from foreign journalists working in Germany sent shockwaves throughout the world, yet it happened, you know, and yet it grew from that, which is chilling.
You know, there is a book which I have not read called Buried in the Times. Mm. And it is about the basically non-reporting of it in the New York Times, which was owned by people of German Jewish descent.
Wow.
And I think it's hard for us to remember, and you say it's happened a long time ago, and the fact that a whole generation has passed, actually a couple of generations, but the last people who actually experienced it are dying or dead or, you know, hardly able to recall.
Yeah.
There are a few. The last eyewitnesses, and then we forget.
Right.
And you know, there's a slogan, never again, but it's happened again. It's happened to Rwandans. It's happened, you know, it's happening to Rohingya.
Yeah, in different places, under different circumstances, but the same execution, if you will. Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons it was so shocking and sent shockwaves, as you say, around the world, is that Germany was a high civilization. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't happening hugger-mugger. It wasn't happening, as you said. It was widely reported, and it was recorded very meticulously.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things is, I mean, you know, the settlers in America wiped out Indians, but they didn't keep a ledger with each Indian's name and photograph.
That's true. And this was different. This was different.
So you can find out. Well, not always. I mean, my father had relatives who were in Europe, and his cousins who were older than he, tried to find out what happened to them and were unable to happen to them. unable to find out.
Yeah, yeah. Such a familiar story. Arlene, thank you for sharing this with us. Thanks for talking about this and reliving this, if you will, and keeping it in people's memories.
Sleep.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Arlene, always good to talk with you. We'll talk again, and have a good weekend. Be careful out there today, okay, my friend?
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. You too, Arlene. Arlene Wiener, a really good playwright, a really good person, and a great friend, and I did want to get this story out to you, not to preach about it, but so that we don't, as we said, so that we don't forget. Oh, yeah. Look at that. All right, let's go to Gary. We got Gary, and we got a caller. I don't have a name from Allison Park. That's the computer's problem. Gary in West Virginia. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
To KDKA. Gary, you all right?
Yeah, I am. Thank you once more. Totally appreciate it.
Yes. What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. We're having a good time on the air today, discussing a lot of cool things with great people. Yeah.
Right. Well, men like you can keep us other men going a lot of times. You know what I mean?
What's on your mind, Gare?
I was just going to say, you know, hope springs eternal, and I think that's a great philosophy and thinking. But reality is a very strong card. And reality is, again, look, we have to face reality and see we can do better. I know we can do better across all fronts. And this culture, we know it. It's underwater. We're underwater.
Yeah, I think we're struggling, you know. But it's interesting because I'm hearing from people like you and other people who are saying, okay, you know, and not really any complaints today. I'm not saying you're complaining. I'm saying people are kind of saying, how do we move forward on any of these many issues that we're faced with today? I think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, I will say this. I don't want to exaggerate it. We're not underwater where we can't where we can't make progress again and reverse some of this.
Right, right.
You know, in closing, and other people have said it, I equate it to this. America is like a large ship on an ocean. You don't turn it very quickly.
Right, right.
So we're just going to make up our minds that we can do better. This is not the country that we were. All the money in the world, all the success, financial rewards in America, in the end, are not worth it if we lose our soul.
Well put. Well put, Gary. I can always count on you for the good quotes. Appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, I don't know. Thank you.
Be careful. Let's go to Allison Park. Welcome to KDKA. Who's this? I don't have your name.
Bill.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. What's up?
Hey, guess what the Germans... This is why we have a Second Amendment, what they were just talking about. What the Germans do, they took the guns away from the Jews right away. It's that simple.
Well... No, we had the Second Amendment long before this happened.
But this is why we have one. But the Germans, that's what they did to the Jews. They took their guns away.
Well, that
they couldn't defend themselves.
That was one of the things that they did. Yeah, I don't know, you know, that is... so what are you saying?
Well, that's why you have a Second Amendment, that's all, to defend, because that's what our founders had in mind. But, you know, that's what happened. I came in at the end of your interview with her.
Yeah, with Arlene. Yeah,
about
Kristallnacht.
I'm very familiar with the... you know, what's called glass. I can't think of the name.
Kristallnacht, broken glass, thing. A night of broken glass.
Broken glass, right. Yeah. It's very famous. But that's why we have a Second Amendment, defend yourself, which I don't think everyone in this country understands that.
Well, I think it's overplayed many times because it's a tough argument to make based simply on that. We understand that it was part of the Constitution. What we were talking about earlier in the show is that even though that is part of the Constitution, when you have people like the kid that killed all those people in California, perhaps there is something that they need to be investigated more. And if you are someone who has some truly mental problems, you should have to give up your guns.
Well, I agree with that. My understanding is I haven't heard the whole thing.
I see. Okay.
People went to complain about him and nothing was done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. I get it.
Okay.
Hey,
thank you.
Bill, thanks for your call. I appreciate you taking the time to make that call. It's going to be an interesting weekend. I love doing Fridays because Saturday I get to do Live from the Center. We'll be on again tomorrow between 3 and 6. Stoney and Ant, this is a text. It says Stoney and Ant was 13 when Hitler marched into Munich. She was forced to the street. To salute the Führer. She was forced to the street. Yeah, I mean, those kinds of things. And Arlene is, I think she stated it very clearly. Someone else also, Lynn in Squirrel Hill, said, if anyone wants to learn about the Holocaust, there are video recordings of Holocaust survivors in the Holocaust Center in Pittsburgh and also in Washington, D.C., which I have seen, which is frightening. I mean, it is so quiet in there that, you know, people are... of any age, are walking through, seeing some of the exhibits, the history, and gasping. I mean, it really, you don't say, oh, let's go out to the Holocaust Museum. I mean, it takes a real strength, and it's going to make for a hard day if you do visit. But we all need to do that, because you see various ways that these things happen and how Nazi Germany came into power. I mean, it's a long time ago now. I get that. But it's something, you know, not for little kids, but your older kids, if they're teens, perhaps they should see that and understand that. But this is a day that we remember those who began to lose their lives in great numbers in Nazi Germany. People, as Arlene said, who were good Germans. Very sad.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.